We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good. Wow, what a way to start the hour of the show, coughing like that. My apologies. Welcome to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. And today, a Top 5 Friday, as today we take a look. We were talking earlier this week, and there's a lot of good ones, too, when you start to go through lists. But we were talking this week about Alan Lazard and Davante Adams and the wide receiving core of the Green Bay Packers. And so you start thinking about some of the better duos that are out there when you're talking about all time, too, by the way, when you're talking about quarterbacks to wide receivers. And you start to think through. Now, there's some that I never saw play. I mean, you go back to, you know, early on with, say, like Johnny Unitas. I mean, everybody talks about Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry and how good they were. They were, without a doubt, unbelievably productive. And, you know, in a time in which you didn't throw the ball a ton, those two guys, they connected a lot for quite a few touchdowns. However, I started thinking about the best combination all time. And you can kind of argue this point, you know, whether it's scoring or yardage or first downs or, you know, when you start to look through all this. By the way, as I started to do research, Cecil Isbell to Don Hutson comes up on some of these lists. They connected to, on 243 receptions, 4,000 yards, 49 touchdowns. So you got Don Hutson making the list. But then you start to really kind of look and you think, okay, who are some of the better ones that are out there? And how many times, by the way, Brett Favre to Sterling Sharp combination gets quite a few mentions. It does. It came to an end in 1994. But his time with Brett Favre was remarkable with Sterling Sharp. From 92 to 94, Sharp and Favre connected on an incredible 314 receptions for 3,854 yards and 42 touchdowns. I mean, they were on like some crazy pace. So when you look at that, while the totals didn't come up to where, say, some of the other ones that are on our list were, Brett Favre to Sterling Sharp was an incredible and lethal combination for a long, long time. For that short period of time they were together, they were as good as anybody. 855-830-8648. So let's do the Top 5 Friday, shall we?
It's a Top 5 Friday on the Bill Michaels Show. What's the top 5 list we'll talk about today? Who or what will be in your top 5? Let Bill know now.
So my top 5, in reverse order, the top 5 duos, wide receiver and quarterback duos of all time. We'll start with the team that I grew up hating. That was the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it was Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann. Those two guys were fantastic. One of the best quarterback wide receiver combinations in Super Bowl history. They produced multiple big plays in their four Super Bowl wins from 1974 until 82. They connected 330 times, accumulated 5,400 yards and 51 touchdowns. Bradshaw to Lynn Swann, That's first and foremost. Now, or that's at number five. Number four, Kellen Winslow's a tight end. But when you start to look at the pass combination between the two, between Dan Fouts and Kellen Winslow, I bring this up. I still remember that game against Miami, that overtime postseason game where they had to basically carry Kellen Winslow off the field because he was just completely exhausted. The Chargers quarterback connected with Winslow for 541 receptions, 6,741 yards, and 45 touchdowns. They were named to six Pro Bowls together. Five together, and Dan Fouts was named to six total. But to me, that was an incredible, incredible combination. You can't go anywhere without thinking of Dan Marino and Mark Clayton. Those two guys were teaming up all the time. 8,468 yards, and it just was like Marino was just always throwing it up downfield. So Marino to Mark Clayton, those were the two guys. Then I think you have to go with Peyton Manning and what Peyton Manning to Marvin Harrison was. They were just fantastic. Just fantastic. 114 touchdowns. One of the best quarterbacks to ever throw the football to one of the best guys that could just blow the lid off of a defense in Marvin Harrison. And then number one, I don't think anybody would argue with, you cannot get better than Joe Montana to Jerry Rice. I mean, the old cart before the horse, chicken and egg scenario, who was great? Would they have been great by themselves? Yes, because Jerry Rice went on to greatness with Steve Young as well. But Joe Montana to Jerry Rice, those two guys just clicked. They knew each other extremely well. They understood what each other wanted from them. And holy mackerel, those two guys were just fantastic. So Bradshaw to Swan, Fouts to Winslow, Marino to Clayton, Manning to Harrison, and number one on my list for best wide receiver quarterback duos of all time, Montana to Jerry Rice. That's it for me. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Your top five on this Top Five Friday. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. 855-830-8648. Your top five. Sam, you got top five in this?
Yes, sir. All right.
Go.
So at number five, I'm also going to start with a team that I absolutely hate. I'm going to go with Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. As far as I know, I haven't watched much of them. They're a little before my time, but I know that they've been one of the greatest combos
fantastic.
Of all time. Right.
Yep.
Number four, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, as you said. They just remind me a lot of Michael Thomas and Drew Brees as of right now, just a possession receiver that you don't even need communication before the snap, and they just know what they're going to run. Number three, I think when it's all said and done, these guys are going to be up in the top combination of all time. I got Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. I mean, when you just think about arm strength and speed, I mean, that combination is just hard to stop anytime. Number two, a lot of people think Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, but I have Tom Brady and Randy Moss when they were together for the couple of years that they were in New England. It's just unfair.
I can't believe they didn't win a championship.
Right. I mean, just the numbers that they're putting up every week. It was just video game numbers. And Randy Moss was playing the best ball of his career. And then obviously number one, I couldn't figure out Montana or Steve Young, but if you got these guys, they're obviously number one. So I got Montana and Rice.
Montana to Rice and Steve Young to Rice. I mean, both guys were tremendous in that sense, but no, I completely agree. You can't argue with a lot of that. And then you've got, by the way, some breaking news. Tonight's Cubs-Cardinals game has just been postponed. The Cardinals have a new positive test, positive coronavirus test on the team. So tonight's contest between the Cubs and the Cardinals in St. Louis has been postponed. That breaking news brought to you by our friends at Pennzoil. Pennzoil made with natural gas, and the proof is in the Pennzoil. But tonight's contest between the Cardinals and the Cubs, they were hoping that the Cardinals would test completely free of COVID, and they did not. They've got another positive test, so therefore they are going to shut it down this evening. So that's the breaking news in the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Evan, you got your top five?
I do, and I think it's a little bit unconventional, and my age is probably going to be showing a lot in this. But starting number five, I have Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. That's absolutely a homer take, but I mean, the connection that they had where they didn't have to say anything. Jordy just knew what to cut, what to do, and Rodgers threw it on a dime. I've never seen anything like it, so I have Rodgers, Nelson, number five. Number four, I have Aikman and Michael Irvin. Still a little bit before my time, but I think, I mean, you look at their stats, you look at the success that they had together, they have to make my list. Number three, I have Tom Brady with Randy Moss and Rob Gronkowski. I mean, Gronk has made himself probably the best or one of the best tight ends in NFL history because of Tom Brady. And I think that I mean, you can't overlook what Randy Moss and Tom Brady did. Like Sam said, they were putting up video game numbers. Number two, I have Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Jerry Rice. I couldn't decide, like Sam, which one to pick. Joe Montana was the early part of Jerry Rice's career. Steve Young has more touchdown passes to Jerry Rice, I believe, but all three of them together, I mean, it's an incredible duo. But then number one, I have Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, which might be a little bit of a surprise, but I mean, I grew up watching Peyton and Marvin Harrison, and you look at the numbers and it's just, it's mind boggling seeing
his video
they put
game.
Up.
Yeah.
It's really video game. Yeah. So I couldn't pass up Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison together.
So there you go. That's our top five quarterback wide receiver duos. We want to know what yours are. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, if you want to hit us up via email, you can do so. BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. My buddy Todd says, how can you ever forget about Jay Cutler to Brandon Marshall? He obviously being a Bears fan. I don't think you put any Bears on that list, to be honest with you. Maybe back during the Denver days, but not certainly during the during the Bears days. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get your thoughts on this. Got a couple of emails I want to get to as well. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Schulze Family Beef. We have live sports back on television. You've got some PGA championship going on. You've got basketball. You've got baseball going on. You got all kinds of things happening. And now you can do some tailgating. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Tailgate from the house, tailgate from your patio, tailgate from your driveway, tailgate from your garage. And Schulze Family Farms Beef has the mouth-watering meats to make your tailgate bash a hit. The Schulze family, they've been providing delicious pasture-raised beef in Humbird, Wisconsin for three generations now. A wide variety of steaks and roasts and ground beef and even tasty beef snacks. It's all just a mouse click away at SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. That's S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. And your customized order, it's going to be shipped packed in dry ice. It's going to arrive on your doorstep or your summer cottage or your rental just a few days away. And if you're a camper, get it sent to your house. Don't open it. Keep it packed in the dry ice and then take it to your destination. It'll be ready to go there as well. And fresh for days while you travel. High-quality pasture-raised beef from the Wisconsin family farm to your family table. You can place your order right now, today, at Schulze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. And don't forget, tomorrow is their open house from 10 to 4. And if you want more information on that, again, go to Schulze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. That is SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. The top five, in your opinion, quarterback, wide receiver duos of all time in the NFL on a Top 5 Friday. That is next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hey, our friends remind you at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, the place to go. This weekend, they've got the Bikes and Barbecue coming up on Saturday. And they're also, boy, if you haven't seen it on their Facebook page, they got in a whole load of brand new Harley-Davidsons. Some really, really cool bikes. If you're looking for a road glide, a street glide, if you're looking for a starter bike, if you're looking for a fully dressed ultra classic, they have got a whole slew of new bikes that just arrived. They made a lot of room for them last week, and they're selling bikes quickly, and they're also giving top dollar in cash for your used bike as well, offering free evaluation. So if you haven't, got out there recently, now's the time to do it. By the way, if you're looking for things, and I hate to say this, for fall, whether it's leathers or helmets, jackets, shoes, chaps, you know what I'm talking about. All the stuff that you can continue to ride all throughout the cooler weather, which I can't believe is coming, and I hate the fact that it is, but it is. So they've got it all out there, and they've got it all at really, really, really good prices and very fashionable stuff. So check out Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Go to wishd.com, WISHD.com, and go see my buddy Craig out there. He's the GM. Make a deal on a bike, or see Jody in the motor clothes department, and they're second to none. And they are voted the best Harley-Davidson dealership by the motor company. So get out of the house, do some social distancing, some wind therapy, if you will, and get out and enjoy yourself at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, Highway 67 in Oconomowoc. Head through the beautiful Kettle Moraine out there just south of the highway, just south of 94, and get yourself on a new bike, trade in your bike, get some cash back, get some new clothes, get some things for the house, get some accessories, whatever it may be, or just get your bike serviced. They do it all. That's Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Let's do this. Let's get back to the phone calls, and let's talk to Wayne listening to us in Green Bay. Wayne, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm doing well. Welcome back to Green Bay. I'm glad you're finally on.
Glad to do it. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I actually, the Bucs game yesterday killed me a little bit, and I was so glad they finally kicked it in gear in the second half. So, because I was paving the driveway or sealing it, and I was dying listening to it, but I was glad when they turned it on. But as far as my list goes for quarterbacks and receivers, I had, on my third would be, believe it or not, Brady to Moss. That's more recent and didn't last very long, but Brady and Moss were great together. I also had Aaron Rodgers down to Jordy Nelson, kind of homerish, but boy, it was fun to watch when they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then little older school, I think you had this one on your list, was Marino to Mark Clayton. That was always amazing when I was
That was kid. Amazing, yeah.
It was Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swan, and then what everybody's had is Montana to Rice.
Right.
Nothing better than Montana and Rice, and then you had John Taylor and Rathman in there at the same time. That was a crazy team. So.
They had an unbelievable team. No doubt. I completely agree with you. Great stuff. Appreciate it. By the way, when you go back to Brady and Moss, in 2007, think about this, 23 touchdowns, Tom Brady to Randy Moss. In 1 year, 23 touchdowns between those two. A single season record, as well as 1,493 yards on 98 catches on their way to that 16-0 season before they ultimately fell to the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. But in just two full seasons and four games together, Brady and Moss connected 190 times for 39 touchdowns, 2,896 yards. Think about that. Two seasons and four games. That's what they ended up producing. That's an amazing amount of success between those two. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Go ahead and do it. Let's go to, let's see here, Al in Green Bay. Al, welcome to the program, man. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Love your list. I changed two of them, though.
Okay.
So, Stabler to Biletnikoff. And I'd go Unitas to Barry.
Unitas to Barry, I mentioned. I just am not overwhelmingly familiar with Johnny Unitas to Raymond Barry, but there was a lot of success there. Because they threw for almost, close to 70 touchdowns, like 68 touchdowns and 9,000 yards. There, it was just like some crazy number.
Yeah, the different era, definitely. But mm-hmm. they were the dominant, I think, the dominant pair in that day. And, Biletnikoff, Stabler Biletnikoff was, I think, one of the best ever.
Yep, they were very, very good. I remember those days without a doubt. Appreciate the phone call. Without a doubt, I remember those days. The other one was not Stabler, but it was LaMonica. Daryl LaMonica to Fred Biletnikoff. They were big time back in. Now, this was right before my time. But from 1960, because I was born in 66, from 67 to 74, they did not have a losing season together while playing for the Oakland Raiders. The quarterback-wide receiver tandem appeared in just one Super Bowl together. They fell just short against the Packers, remember. In that span, they connected on 51 receptions for 57 touchdowns and an impressive average of 7 per season. That's pretty remarkable. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on this Top 5 Friday, the top 5 wide receiver quarterback combinations of all time. Let's do this. We'll get back into some of the emails here. This one's from Steve. He said, here's my top 5 quarterback wide receiver duos of all time in no particular order. Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin, they killed the Packers for what seemed like forever. Dan Fouts and Charlie Joyner. How Fouts didn't win a Super Bowl with Air Coryell beyond me, not the best of defenses. And they ran into a buzzsaw in Cincinnati. Remember when they ended up coming to Cincinnati and played the coldest game? It was negative 56 or something like that with wind chill. That's when the Ohio River froze over. That was the year that they were supposed to be that good, and they ended up getting beat because Cincinnati was more equipped to handle the cold. John Elway and Rod Smith was a fantastic duo. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. How can you not mention those two in the West Coast offense? Don't forget about Steve Young thrown into that, he says. And then this is one that I was waiting for. Jim Kelly and Andre Reed. How did they not win a Super Bowl? I mean, obviously the Scott Norwood kick did not allow him to do so, but nevertheless, Jim Kelly and Andre Reed, you're right, they were a hell of a combination. They were actually, when you talk about the on the all-time list, they were a little bit ahead of Brett Favre and Sterling Sharp. There's another one of Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson that's gone kind of unmentioned, but Jim Kelly to Andre Reed, they led that attack for years. They made it to three consecutive Super Bowls and made the playoffs eight times, 718 receptions, as well as 10,247 yards and 71 touchdowns. That was unbelievably lethal in that offense at that time. No doubt about it. 855-830-8648. Again, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do so. This one's from Mark. Mark writes in Wendy's email inbox. He said, I think we can all say that Joe Montana to Jerry Rice was the best combination ever, one of the best quarterbacks and the best wide receivers. I do like Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. Tom Brady and Randy Moss were stellar for a short period of time. I am a little bit biased. I want to see Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers in there because they were just that good together. Mark Clayton and Dan Marino, I remember those days of Marino dropping back and just lofting one in the air and Clayton still coming down with it because he had better jumping ability than anybody. Same with Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. He goes on to say, Joe Namath and Don Maynard were actually pretty good. My dad tells me about Joe Namath all the time, so I had to look it up. 49 touchdowns between the two, and they won that Super Bowl together. Nobody has mentioned Roger Staubach either. Roger Staubach was one of the better passing quarterbacks out there as well. Appreciate the email. Thank you. 855-830-8648. When we come back, Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, we're going to talk with him about this Reds bullpen that just stinks. They're coming into Miller Park this weekend. Hopefully the Brewers can get a little bit healthier offensively on this bullpen that has not had the success that they were hoping for. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show talking some Brewers and Reds next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Peace up. A-Town.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We continue on this portion of the show brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Brewers come from a couple of wins. They knock off the Chicago White Sox. Now they come back home to the confines of Miller Park, where they hope to get even healthier offensively. Their starting pitching has been solid. Their bullpen at times has been a little bit suspect, but it's been the offense that's let them down more often than not. Meanwhile, the Reds, they've had some offense. Their starting pitching has been stellar, but their bullpen has been, for the most part, the Achilles heel. To talk more about it, our good buddy from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, Mo Egger, now joining us. Mo, how you been, pal?
Great, Bill. What's going on?
Well, this is it. We're just hoping we're seeing that the Cubs and Cardinals series today, at least, has been postponed because of another positive COVID test. But knock on wood, nothing's happened between our two teams as of right now. But tell me about this Reds team that just it seems like their bullpen has just been imploding.
Yeah, the bullpen's been a major issue. You know, they have the best starting pitching ERA in the National League. And for the most part, the starting pitching has been really, really good. They've lost a number of games in which they've either blown a lead that their starting pitcher left with, or that they simply couldn't hit, support the starting pitcher, reliever came in, gave it up. And it's been guys that have track records. You know, there's always some iffiness, if you will, when you get to the middle innings and you bring in a guy who's, you know, maybe a fringe roster guy or, you know, long reliever. But I think the frustrating thing for a lot of Reds fans is it's been proven relief pitchers. Michael Lorenzen has a track record, but he hasn't been very good. Raisel Iglesias has a track record, recently has thrown the ball better, but, you know, he's been the culprit at times. The middle relief has been, at times, a disaster. And The offense has been a problem, and this team's inability to generate, you know, runs when they're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark is a problem. And, you know, but I think that the most frustrating thing has just been the inability to win well-pitched games, games in which their starting pitcher gave them six or seven really good innings, and the bullpen, you know, couldn't deliver. And I think that's the main reason why this team is staring at a 5-8 record heading into this weekend in Milwaukee.
So, I mean, the starting pitching has been simply fantastic. But you guys have also had, you look at a guy like Moustakas, who got off to a hot start and then got into the illness protocol and then comes back with an injury. You've had a scare up of the coronavirus of your own. Has it just felt like it's been kind of herky-jerky getting this thing going?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. They haven't been, and a lot of teams are dealing with this, but they haven't been whole since opening day. You know, when they had everybody, and it was, you know, night two, Matt Davidson comes down with a positive COVID-19 test. It turns out he never had COVID-19. He tested negatively subsequently nearly a dozen times. They've had to play without Mike here over the last couple of games because of a mild injury. But beyond that, the guys who have been in the lineup, you know, simply haven't produced. Eugenio Suarez hit 49 home runs last year. He looks like he's trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark every single swing. He looks overmatched. Dude is hitting below 100. They acquired Shogo Akiyama from Japan. The idea was, you know, he was going to give them a table setter at the top of the order. That hasn't happened. Joey Votto hit homers in two of their first in their first two games. He is significantly cooled. You know, Castellanos has paid dividends. He's swung the bat really, really well. He's provided some pop. But across this lineup, it's up and down. And it's one thing when you have a team that's got a bunch of guys who, you know, can hit the home run and you're coming up empty. It's another thing entirely, I think, when you sought to really improve your team's ability to get guys on base, and that hasn't happened either. Their team on base percentage is .310. That's below league average. Almost 25% of their hits are home runs, which I think illustrates how feast or famine this lineup is. And then you compound those issues with the bullpen's problems. And then when your bullpen is struggling and your offense is struggling, you're either not able to come back from deficits or you're not able to add to leads or not able to get the big hit late. So it's been frustrating, and it's sort of exacerbated by the fact that for the first time in a while, as you well know, Reds fans went into the season thinking they had a legitimate chance.
That was it. When we were down at spring training, there was optimism from the fans. And as I walked around with some of the, broadcast teams and other people kind of in the know, they thought, maybe there should be a little bit more cautious optimism there. Did you feel the same?
It was funny because, you know, back in January and February, the consensus was this is maybe an 85-win team. And in a division that's likely to be really hotly contested, where it looks like there doesn't appear to be a clear-cut favorite, maybe, you know, they can sneak into the playoffs. And then the shutdown happened. And then it was, you know, nobody added to their team during the shutdown. But when we saw what the season was going to be like, and all right, we're going to play 60 games, there was this infusion of optimism. And most of it seemed to revolve around the fact that we were going to have a DH this year. And yeah, to a degree, I get it. The Reds have a team full of DHs. But I think in the 3 weeks leading up to the season, the expectations were a little more outsized than they should be. They do have the soft landing, like everybody does, of a 16-team playoff. And so, you know, getting off to a 5-8 start doesn't kill you the way it might in a normal year. You know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I think to a degree the expectations were a little more inflated than they should be. But, you know, I think a lot of that was based on, hey, this team's starting staff has a chance to be really good. They have four former All-Stars. They have a really good front three. And I think the frustrating thing is that's played out the way fans thought it would. Their starting pitching has, for the most part, been really good. They've had some injuries, but not to their top three guys, not to Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, or Sonny Gray. And yet, here they are, 5-8. They're not hitting. The defense is not that good. The bullpen has been a problem. And here they are staring up at a deficit, looking up at three teams in the NL Central.
Yeah, the amazing thing is they are 28th in team batting average and hitting 198 as a team, but yet they are 7th overall in home runs. So when you talk about feast or famine, this team certainly has the power. They're just not putting guys on ahead of them.
No, you're right. I mean, I think that's the biggest issue. I wrote a long piece before the season started asking a series of questions for the year, and one of them was, you know, can Shogo Akiyama, who's the player they acquired from Japan, can he solve their issue with getting on base at the top of the order? And you know, Bill, you followed this team for a while. In my adult life, I think that there have been, you know, two constants. One has been my social awkwardness, and the other has been the Reds' never-ending search for a leadoff hitter. I mean, if you go back over the last 20 years, it's remarkable how bad they've been at that spot. And I think a lot of people thought this year, Shogo comes over from Japan. He got on base 40% of the time over the last 3 years. Probably not going to get on base that often here, at least in year one. But you kind of thought maybe they have a guy who can set the table. And then if Votto can even go back to what he was 2 years ago, you have a 1-2 punch at the top of the order that should set the table. That simply hasn't happened. And then, you know, when you're not hitting and you're in a lot of close games, it highlights the little things. And one of the concerns that people had about this team coming into the season was team defense. And I downplayed that a little bit because I thought, A, they have a staff that doesn't give up a ton of contact, and B, they've really invested in, you know, metrics that help them position their fielders. That said, they've given up more unearned runs than any team in the National League. And it's not just errors. It's allowing preventable runs to score because you give up an extra base or you don't turn two at second base when you might end an inning. Things like that. They're not a good base running team. And when you're mashing and you got a bunch of guys hitting the ball out of the ballpark and you're getting lights out relief work, these things don't matter as much. But when you operate with a small margin for error, which is what you do when you don't hit and your bullpen's not very good, suddenly those little things where you give away outs or give away preventable runs, those become big issues, and especially with the defense. And I think it's very fair to wonder if that, you know, is going to catch up to them, even when they do start hitting, even when they do start winning more games in a big situation. Can they make a key play in the field? As much as we overlook defense in this sport, I think that's a bigger issue than even I would have given it credit for being before the season started.
Yeah, this is a team that in the Reds that is 11th best at hitting with runners in scoring position. It's just getting those guys in scoring position has been so much troublesome. But I look at it this way. You're talking about playing in Cincinnati. Usually the hitting is a little bit behind the pitching once the season gets underway. So in the next 2 weeks, which you may not have that kind of time if you lose more ball games, but in the next 2 weeks, I think you're really going to find out offensively where this team is, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, the one thing you can say is after this weekend, the schedule has a lot of Pirates and Royals on it. Now, granted, in the Central, everybody plays those teams, but all right, even if you're looking up at the Chicago Cubs going, I'm not sure we can catch them, I think they've got a bit of a decided advantage, as does every team in the NL Central, against teams in the East and West, in that, you know, the Pirates are awful, the Royals are terrible, the Reds are going to play them a bunch. They've missed their chance against the Tigers because they played them six times and only won three of those games. But if I think they look at it and go, okay, we've got two of our best three starters pitching this weekend. If we can get out of Milwaukee and not dig ourselves into an even deeper hole, the schedule and the pitching we face over the next week and a half is going to be forgiving enough that maybe we can get something going. That sounds easy, but, you know, a lot of people 2 weeks ago would have said this team's going to get off to a hot start because they play the Tigers a bunch of times, and Detroit beat them 3 out of 6. So who knows? But, yeah, I think over the next week and a half, we'll get a firmer idea of what this team's going to do this year. I refuse to believe that some of the numbers you look at from some of their hitters are going to be what they – I have a hard time believing they're going to be in 2 weeks or in a week and a half what they are right now. Eugenio Suarez is not an 091 hitter. They will hopefully get Mike Moustakas back. But it's a shortened season. A 5-8 start is different when you're playing 60 games than when you're playing 162. And so they can ill afford to put themselves even further back, which I think highlights the importance of playing well at Miller Park this weekend.
Mo, great stuff as always. Stay safe. I look forward to seeing you down the road sooner rather than later, and then we'll talk again, okay?
I hope so. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 down in Cincinnati. And you can find his stuff, as a matter of fact, over there on Twitter, at Mo Egger 1530. You can find him there. A great guy. Good to talk to all the time. And he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRODUCT. Go to schneiderjobs.com. A reminder that 1 week from last night, we're less than a week away, we're going to be at our Tobacco Outlet Plus dinner, Tobacco Outlet Plus grocery dinner, coming up out at the Loopy's High Shore Supper Club in the Chippewa Valley. So we hope to see you out there. And going to have a great time. Going to have a lot of fun. Come on by. If you haven't gotten tickets yet, they're going fast. It will sell out. I've been told it's selling quicker than we thought down the stretch here. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you need to get them now. And that's our good friends over there, tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. That's tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. We've got a lot of information. We've got makeup game dates that were released and more information regarding the Cubs and the Cardinals series. Stay tuned. I got a lot coming up, a lot of breaking news about that next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold training camp update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers holding more team meetings and everyone being tested for COVID again. The team has announced there'll be no fans in the stands for the Packers' first two home games against the Lions and the Falcons. Packers president Mark Murphy says it wasn't an easy decision.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's there's a lot at stake, and we understand what Packer home games mean, but it's just uncharted waters for all of us, and the last thing we would want is to contribute to some outbreak or super spreader event, and so we'll hopefully be able to, at a minimum, get the games in and on television.
The Packers open the season on the road in Minnesota. The Vikings have not announced their plans for fans. Aaron Rodgers.
It'll be strange to play, if that's the case, to play in some of these venues that over the years have been really, really loud. You know, you talking about the advantage that Seattle has for their crowd, New Orleans, Minnesota, Atlanta, to not see a full Lambeau, going to be a little bit weird.
That's Aaron Rodgers. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. Time now for the Heads Up Plays of the Week. Then we're going to get into some breaking news regarding Major League Baseball as well. So let's do this. The Heads Up Plays, in the order, Mark Mathias, he gets his first Major League base hit. That's always nice. Take a listen.
Exciting to get himself to the big leagues. And how about it? A base hit for Mathias in his first big league at-bat. And you can hear the Brewers dugout cheering for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Save that ball. Mark Mathias has a hit in the major leagues against a former Cy Young Award winner.
Good stuff there. Giannis at number two. Huge dunk against the Heat. Here it is.
Giannis drives right through the defense. One-handed hammer. Sometimes you just say, how can you stop that? And sometimes you can't.
You're right. You can't. When he wants to get to the hoop, he's going to get to the hoop. And then you got to go. Come on. Christian Yelich, the inside, the Parker. Let's do this.
Yelich in the air, left field. Got some carry, but Jimenez. Oh, he can't make the play, and it's a fair ball, and now Jimenez is in the net. Yelich around second on his way to third, and he is going to try to score. Here comes a throw, and Yelich is in there. And this game is all tied at two.
Wow, there you go. How about Christian Yelich? He goes to the opposite field. He's been rolling over on a lot of stuff. I think Jimenez thought he was going to get that in the glove. You can see it lands in fair ground, and he ends up in the seats. By the time he gets up with Yelich's speed, he's able to score easily. So an inside the Parker for Christian Yelich.
There you go, and that's your top play for the plays of the week. So how are we looking? Good stuff. In the meantime, the St. Louis-Milwaukee series, the three-game series between the Cardinals and the Brewers, which was originally scheduled for July 31st through August 2nd, rescheduled as part of three doubleheaders during the scheduled meetings between these clubs later this season. Monday, September 14th, Wednesday, September 16th. So that's five games in 3 days. And as well as Friday, September 25th at Busch Stadium for the Brewers, serving as the home team for Game 1 of the doubleheader. How about that? the Cardinals are really, really up against it now. In case you didn't notice, the Cardinals series today with, or at least the game today with the Cubs was postponed because of yet another positive test. Now, if the Cardinals are even permitted to resume play tomorrow against the Cubs, they're going to have to play, get this, 55 games in 51 days. And if the entire series is postponed, the Cardinals then have to go 55 games in 49 days. That's just brutal. The Cardinals have played at a Major League Baseball low 5 games this year, have now had 8 players and 6 staff members test positive for COVID. And the game tonight officially postponed to allow for additional testing and to be complete as far as the contact tracing portion of it. They want to get that done hopefully in the next 24 hours. But the game tonight between the Cubs and the Cardinals postponed. And if they start it back up tomorrow, the Cardinals will then have to play 55 games in 51 days. And if the series this weekend is wiped out, they then have to play 55 games in 49 days. That's the breaking news in the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network, brought to you by our friends at Pennzoil. Pennzoil made with natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. That is just brutal. That is just unbelievably brutal. We're going to talk more about this with Kevin Holden from CBS 58 coming up here in just a little bit. And in the last remaining portion of the program after that, Mike Clemens is going to join us. We're going to talk some Packers training camp as the Packers get ready for padded practices coming up at the end of next week. So we'll talk with Mike. Hey, by the way, our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they extended their 2-week sale. You can call it some extra credit if you will. But the more you buy, the more you save towards a patio door system. You buy 3 windows, you save $250. 6 windows, $500. 9 windows, $750. You buy a dozen, you save $1,000. You do the math, you get it. You see what I'm saying? In fact, the more you buy, the more you save right now through next Saturday. It's an extended 2-week sale at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And if you don't need the door, that's fine. You can choose 48 months, no interest, and no payments for 5 months on brand new windows that make your house look beautiful. It keeps the heat out in the summertime, they cooled out in the wintertime, and they just look fantastic, and they raise the value of your home. It's just so many good things about Pella Windows and Doors. Go to PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 going to join us next on the Bill Michael Show.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.